Welcome to the Robert J. Morgan Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you believe and cherish the Bible and to learn and love Christian history and hymnody. I'm producer Joshua Rill, introducing your host, Robert J. Morgan. Be sure to visit robertjmorgan.com, where you'll find Rob's blog posts, podcast feed, bookstore, free resources, and more. If you've not already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, leave us a five-star review. Now here's your host, Robert J. Morgan.
Hello, everyone. When I was growing up, we had a little chorus that we sang in church that said, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. We'll look at that subject today. But first, I have in my hand right here, I wish you could see it, a copy of a book that just came out. It's my newest book called Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. And I'm turning over to the table of contents because I want to give you some of the practical ideas and steps that have come out of my study of the book of Philippians. This is a regular trade size book. It has how many pages here? About 250 pages, and is divided into 31 chapters. The chapters are relatively short. There is one for every day of the month if you want to read it in that way. But all of these points come right out of the book of Philippians. And so whatever happens, chapter 1, trust God's grace when perplexed. Chapter 5, remember that God is still working on you. Chapter 7, replace gloomy thoughts with glorious ones. Chapter 10, whatever happens, never be intimidated. Chapter 14, shine like a star in the blackened sky. Chapter number 19, whatever happens, grow deeper each morning. And chapter 23, whatever happens, stand firm. Chapter 25, whatever happens, improve your mental chemistry, and so forth and so on. We also have a study guide for this, so you can use it in small group studies. I go through every verse of the book of Philippians based upon really 50 years of my having studied it. So check it out, whatever happens, and you can find it wherever you buy your books. Hormuz Shariat is called the Billy Graham of Iran. He's at the forefront of a secret revival occurring in the underground church of Iran. Several years ago, a woman that he calls Dana began calling into his program very angry with him. Dana was a high-ranking official in Iran's female secret police, and she persecuted Christians. One day, she called the program to tell Hormuz that she and her bedridden mother were going to kill themselves. Dana had grown disillusioned with Iranian corruption, and she was discouraged because cancer was destroying her mother's body. Hormuz responded and said on the radio to her, "Since you're going to kill yourself anyway, why don't you give Jesus a week? If he doesn't answer a single prayer for you, then go ahead and kill yourself. You have nothing to lose." Dana railed against him, but in the end, she agreed to his experiment. Every morning, she prayed to Jesus. Early on the fifth day, she heard footsteps in the house. She thought an intruder had entered because the only other person at home was her bedridden mother. Yet her mother stuck her head through the door and said, "It's just me, Dana." Dana was shocked to see her mother walking through the house and ask how it could be. Her mother replied, "Last night after you turned off the light, I thought I should pray one last time. And then I saw his face right there in my room. It was Jesus. I woke up a few minutes ago and realized I felt no pain. Not only that, but I could move comfortably and felt so peaceful that I decided to try to stand up. Dana, I could walk. I feel well again." Dana not only turned to Christ, she has become a fervent underground evangelist inside of Iran, who, with her husband, have planted a large network of underground churches in that repressed nation. God considers nothing impossible, and we have that on very good authority. It comes from the angel Gabriel. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, as Gabriel explained to Mary how the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and leave her impregnated with the Messiah, he added, "For no word from God will ever fail." That's from the New International Version. Most translations follow the example of the New King James Version and say, "For with God nothing will be impossible." The literal Greek says, and it's awkward to us, but it says, "Everything will not be impossible with God." So what Gabriel was saying is that no word that God speaks can fail to come true. Nothing is impossible for him. The Lord is able to do anything and everything, miracles beyond our comprehension. This is not Gabriel's opinion alone. In Genesis 18:14, the Lord reassured the aged Abraham that his elderly wife Sarah would have a baby, saying, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" It was a rhetorical question, and the answer was nothing. The prophet Jeremiah grasped the same truth when he prayed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Job said in Job 42, verse 1, "I know that you can do all things." Jesus summed it all up in Matthew 19:26 when he said, "With God, all things are possible." And in Luke 18:27, he also said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." The Apostle Paul said that he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised, because our Lord, as Paul put it in Ephesians 3, is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He said in Romans 4:17 that we have a God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. My favorite verse along these lines is Zechariah chapter 8, verse 6, when the Lord makes a set of promises to the remnant of Israel that they can hardly wrap their arms around. And then he says, "It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me?" The Living Bible renders this very nicely. It says, "This seems unbelievable to you, a remnant small, discouraged as you are, but it's no great thing for me." In other words, what seems impossible to us is an easy lift for our God. In theological jargon, we call this omnipotence, which literally means all power. Omni means all, and potence means power. So omnipotence means he is almighty. He possesses unlimited power. And the same Lord who spread out the universe like a canopy and created the earth like a spinning ball of water and dirt, he has infinite energy and he can do anything. Now, this is the Bible's basic premise. God is omnipotent. But we have to understand a few things about this quality of omnipotence. So there are four footnotes that we need to keep in mind. Number one, God theoretically could, but certainly will not, act contrary to his nature. Remember, the Lord has other attributes beyond omnipotence, and all of his attributes blend together so seamlessly that there are no gaps or cracks in his unified nature. For example, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged." Now, the operative phrase there for our purposes is, "It is impossible for God to lie." I've been saying all this time that with God nothing is impossible. And yet here in Hebrews it says it is impossible for God to lie. So in what way is it impossible? It is not theoretically impossible. I mean, I can lie. And if I can lie, I'm sure that God has the physical ability to utter a lie. But his omnipotence is seamlessly woven together with his righteousness, with his integrity, with his holiness, and he will not act contrary to his nature, and that's why it is impossible for him to lie. He theoretically could, but certainly will not act contrary to his nature. In Psalm 89, verse 34, God said, "I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered." In other words, God will not act contrary to his word and to his will. Secondly, here's the second footnote. God will not perform the logically absurd. The whole theory of omnipotence does not require God to do something that is logically absurd. This is sometimes called the omnipotence paradox. If you discuss the question of God's omnipotence with skeptics, someone will probably bring up a riddle or a question that's designed to confound you, such as, can God make a rock too heavy for him to lift? Have you heard that before? Or can God make 2 + 2 = 5? Or can God make a square circle? Well, this omnipotence paradox has been widely discussed since the days of Augustine. It's nothing new. And most theologians agree that omnipotence is not defined as the ability to perform what is logically absurd. I heard a lecture in which someone asked William Lane Craig, the great philosopher, about this. And this is his reply. I'm quoting now from Bill Craig. Omnipotence is not defined as the ability to do that which is logically absurd. In one sense, to do a task that is logically impossible is not a task at all. It is just a self-contradictory combination of words. So it's no inhibition of omnipotence to say that God cannot do what is logically impossible, and that's the way most theists historically have understood it. Augustine of Hippo articulated this in the 400s, and it's been the general position of scholars ever since. God is not required, and the doctrine of omnipotence does not imply that God will do that which is logically absurd. But let's say you disagree with this. Let's go back to the question. Can God make a rock so heavy he cannot lift it? Yes, he can make such a rock, and then he will lift it. But none of this is a logical reality. Questions that are absurd in nature do not really threaten the reality of God's omnipotence. A third footnote when it comes to God's omnipotence is to remember that while he can do anything, he does not do everything. While he can do anything, he does not do everything. Here's an example from the Gospels. When Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday, the people praised him, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The critics among the Pharisees told Jesus to make the crowd quiet and down. And Jesus replied in Luke 19:40, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. God had the ability to make the stones cry out in praise. Jesus said that God could do that. But just because he could do it doesn't mean that he did do it. That's important for us to remember when we pray. God can answer our prayers with miracles, and he sometimes does. But he doesn't always choose to do that, which is why we live by faith and not by sight. We trust him even when he doesn't do the thing that we think is needed at the moment. We trust him to know better than we do what is best, and to keep his promise to work all things together for our good. The ultimate example of this is when Jesus prayed, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. God certainly had the power to snatch Jesus back up to heaven, and Jesus himself had the power to call more than 12 legions of angels to deliver him. But Jesus, nevertheless, was nailed to the cross to provide eternal salvation and eternal life for you and me. So just because God can do everything doesn't mean that he will. Now, there is a final footnote here that I want to bring up to you. God is very reluctant to violate the freedom of the will that he gave to humans. God could have made us so that we are programmed like robots to love him and to always obey him. But within the dimensions of his sovereignty and wisdom, he has given us a certain degree of freedom to choose how we're going to live, to make our own choices. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and our Lord called him to become a disciple, the young man turned away and left, for he wasn't willing. Jesus could have snapped his fingers and turned the young man into a sort of puppet who had to turn back and follow Jesus. But our Lord knows that love and loyalty must be freely given. And so he doesn't exercise his omnipotence to do that. In all occasions, he is reluctant to violate the free will that he gave us. Now, these are four footnotes, but in no way do they diminish God's infinite power or his ability to do anything and everything that he desires. And it's very important and helpful to know that it's his power that energizes us for life. There are two great passages about this in the book of Ephesians, and I'd like to take these two different passages and sort of fuse them together for you. The first is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. I think this is one of the most underappreciated verses of the New Testament. Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and by extension for us, that our eyes would be opened to, quote, his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength which he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. God exerted power when he raised Christ from the dead, and that same power is available for us who believe, and we can experience that on a daily basis. Now, the other passage in Ephesians comes at the end of chapter 3, and it too is a prayer. Paul prays that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, because after all, Paul said, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. So here we go. Let's put it together. The God who can do anything, for whom nothing is impossible, exerted his omnipotent power when he raised Christ from the dead, and that same power is available to energize us in our daily living. It comes to us out of God's glorious riches, and it's conveyed into our lives by the Holy Spirit who strengthens us in our inner being. So we can take the two prayers that Paul offered, one in Ephesians 1 and the other in Ephesians 5, and we can claim them as prayers for ourselves when we need an extra boost of strength and life. Lord, open my eyes that I can see that the same power that you exerted when you raised Christ from the dead is available to me, and may that energy, that power come into my inner being by your Holy Spirit. And as we pray that, we will find that God has a way of giving us the strength that we need every day to bear whatever work he assigns, whatever burdens he allows, and we'll find that he is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Along the way, we never know how God will use whatever we are and whatever we do for him. Let me end with this story. In the late 1920s, a Presbyterian missionary named Robert S. Burris, B-U-R-R-I-S, Burris, set out across a section of China with 2,000 New Testaments in his luggage. Along the way, he was surrounded by bandits who demanded his money. When they found out that he had only 80 cents in cash, they were about to behead him, but instead, they took his luggage, including every single one of his copies of the Scripture. That night, as Burris settled down and tried to sleep, he claimed a verse that he knew very well, Isaiah 55, verse 11, regarding this loss, that God's word would not return empty, but would accomplish what God desired and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. 25 years later, Burris was serving as a pastor of a church in Canton, Ohio. He met a traveling missionary who had later worked in the same area of China where he had, and the man showed slides of a church of 400 members where no Christian worker had ever been. How the church came into existence was a mystery. And it's also strange that every single member of that church had a copy of the New Testament. The missionary admitted that no one knew where the Scriptures had come from. But Mr. Burris knew. God's wisdom and power are undiminished, and he is able to do for you and with you and through you exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Well, thank you for digging into the riches of the Bible with me and examining this question of God's omnipotence, his almighty strength. Because of that, whatever happens, we can stand firm in him. So please remember to check out my newest book, available right now wherever you get your books, Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When Your World is Falling Apart. This episode was produced by Joshua Rowe and the marketing company Clearly Media, and it's sponsored by MP Seminars, which for three decades has been training pastors, scholars, and Bible students in the use of Logos Biblical software. Audio engineering and editing and production is by Jared Brummett. Editorial supervision, Sherry Anderson. And Luke Tyler takes each of these episodes, condenses them, adds an opening outline, and posts them as blogs on my website, robertjmorgan.com. There you can find many other resources as well. Music is by my friend, Jordan Davis. Thank you for tuning in, and may God be with you until we meet again.